something that we can apply to our lives. Let's just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before you this morning again. We thank you, Lord, for that we can come together as a body of believers. We thank you for each one here, Lord. We thank you for your word that was already shared with us, for the promise, for the hope that we can have in you. Lord, I just pray this morning as we sit, as we stand before you, looking to hear from you, Lord, again, we just pray that you would reach out and that you would minister to each heart here this morning. That your will would be accomplished in our lives, Lord. You know our needs, Lord. You know our desires. And Lord, we just want to lay ourselves in front of you, Lord, and ask, Lord, for you to minister to us. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That verse, so just pondered that. That verse reaches out and speaks to each one of us here this morning. If we are in need, seeking Him, He's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God knows why we're here. He knows the things that we're facing. And He desires to speak to us. As I was pondering the things to share this morning, and I was just thinking about the Christian walk in, you know, choices that we have to make every day. And so as I was thinking about that, the thoughts that were left with me is choosing to follow Jesus. And, you know, that's something that as believers, we make a choice. We're doing this for Jesus. We recognize who we are and we choose a direction. In Psalm chapter 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And then if we go down to the end of the chapter there. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. We see a trust in God and a desire to declare God's works. When we choose to follow Jesus, making a decision to do this, there's certain rewards that results that we will get when we choose to do that. And so I was pondering that, you know, when we choose to turn towards Jesus and to trust Him, we avoid the disaster of going down this road of unbelief. We avoid a collision. When we choose to follow Jesus, we have the opportunity to see the goodness of God. An amazing thing. We find our hearts trusting God. We find gratefulness coming out of our lives. At the same time, when we choose this path, we will not always understand the path that we're on. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We see a lot of when we're choosing, when we're trusting, when we follow faith in God. And I'd just like to point out a few things here. In Hebrews chapter 11 here, verse 4, faith caused Abel to worship God at his best. He gave everything he had. In verse 7 here, faith caused Noah to respond to God's warnings. Verse 22 talks about Joseph because of faith. Because of his trust in God, he was able to resist temptation. In verse 24, it talks about Moses. He was able to identify himself with a people, his people, stepping down in life, so to speak. He was able to remove himself from the popular crowd. For what purpose? He saw his people in need, and he was willing to get down on their level. So just a few things here that we notice, you know, when we choose to follow Jesus, when we trust Him and we take steps of obedience, we see the things that take place, that have taken place. But when we look at life and we recognize failure in our lives maybe or around us, you know, that's the piece that also is missing often. You know, when we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be, we probably often can identify that there's a lack of
a trust, a lack of faith, a lack of maybe understanding what God is trying to do, which really, you know, we don't always understand, which points back to just not willing to trust. We recognize that in this chapter here, as we read these verses here, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Psalm, we turn to Psalms 107. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalms chapter 31, verse 19, how great is thy goodness? We see God's mercies here. We see verse chapter 31 here points out to God's goodness. And I just like to take just a little bit of time and just try to understand what God is, how God thinks and how he, his goodness, how that reaches out to us. And maybe in order to see how God is and how he thinks versus how we as people often relate, maybe we need to just stop and just take a look at ourselves and see how we reason with life. How many of us have heard someone say, well, that's not fair? Why did I only get one and he got two? You know, we're constantly thinking about fairness, and we're comparing our lives with somebody else's. And so we, you know, as we look at that thinking, we see that there's a high interest of self. And I think there's fathers here that have three sons, but if there was a father that had three sons doing a job for him, and his first son went out and started working for him on Monday, and there was another son that came and started the job on Wednesday, and another one started on Friday, and Friday evening comes along and they finished the job. Everybody gave, they worked as hard as they could. You know, our way of thinking is, and the ones that were working would probably feel that way too, that, well, I work the most days, I put the most hours in, and so I should receive the greatest reward. And the father would probably agree with that, you know, as a human father, as a, you know, we's like, yeah, you sweated more, you worked harder, and you deserve a greater reward. And but you know, if the father chose to pay these sons all the same wages, how would that sit? You know, they're probably, we would quickly start looking at each other and it's like, well, that's not fair. I worked harder than you. So I just pondering that and would like to turn to Matthew chapter 20. And we'll see a similar story here, and I'll just read the first 16 verses here. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when eve was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So we ponder these verses here. You know, we see that it would appear like there was these servants were willingly working for their master. And they had been given a promise. And they were happy with the rewards that were coming their way. But, you know, we see man there looking at that and saying, well, you know, we start looking around and it's like, well, I'm working harder than he is. Or, you know, I having the rewards being the same doesn't seem right. But we see here a God that is looking over his people here. And he's wanting a people that is coming to him, that is willing to serve him, and to give everything that they have. And he wants to give them a reward. And so we see the goodness of God here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We need to taste. We need to stop and taste. We need to choose to follow him. And then we have the opportunity to see that we can trust in him. We turn to Exodus chapter 33. We see here Moses was spending some time with God here on the mountain, I believe. We go to Exodus chapter 33 and go down to verse 18. Moses had a request of God here, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. We see here, Moses saw a glimpse of God here. And we go down to chapter 34, verse 29. The results of Moses seeing God, something took place. And Moses doesn't seem like Moses was aware of what was happening here. But if we start reading here in verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. You know, Moses had an experience with God. And it had an impact. And Moses didn't have to go and say, look at my face. You know, I just saw God and I'm all happy and my, you know, his face was shining. But it was rather, I believe, you know, Moses was on a journey here coming down to his people. And the people recognized that his face shone and they couldn't deal with it. As we live, as we serve God, And as we experience His goodness in our lives, you know, I think that's a little bit what we can experience. You know, we have peace and joy, and we don't always recognize what's happening in our hearts and lives, but it comes out, and other people see that. And it's just a testimony of what is happening in our lives. In Romans, chapter 2, when we experience God's goodness, it leads us to repentance. And just like to read just a couple of verses here, starting in verse 4 in Romans chapter 2. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patience continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of the man, of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. As we just look at God's goodness, you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, talks about His grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, we can see His mercy. In Philippians 4, verse 19, He supplies our needs. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, supplies us with things that we can enjoy. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, tells us He provides us with strength. In Psalms 145, verse 9, He has compassion on all. And we see as He met with Moses there, and Moses experienced God's goodness, His glory. And Moses went to his people. They saw some of that. And this morning, just like to challenge us, you know, we can be those vessels that are full of God's glory. And it's not something that we have to go out and tell everybody. that this is the case with my life. But it's just an overflowing experience that happens as we spend time together. So I guess just a question that I'd like to leave with us here as we consider God's goodness. Where do we stand? You know, how are we dealing with life? And I think just asking ourselves some questions can soon share some light on maybe what we're dealing with. Do you face the future with your heart filled with fear? You know, if we're dealing with that, you know, probably not very peaceful experience. Or do we find ourselves facing the future with our hearts filled with faith, seeking to trust God? Being like Moses was without really realizing it. In closing, in Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Something was mentioned this morning about knowledge. You know, we can have a lot of knowledge, but knowledge without action, without trusting, doesn't really get us anywhere. And he just reminds us here that we have to have faith, and that if we don't trust, it's impossible to please him. And we have a promise there that he is a rewarder of them. A rewarder to those who? Those that diligently seek him. That don't just walk by, but they seek to understand what God would have for their lives. So we have a promise this morning, and let's hang on to that promise, and let's strive to live our lives in a way that there's a reflection, there's something coming out of our lives that people see. May God bless.